It's a great pleasure to be here and to be part of the kickoff meeting of GRISMO, and just to express our commitment to work with the project and to be part of that one way or the other, because we think that putting WHO in the bigger picture of what you are trying to do, I think is very timely and very strategic. Not only at the European level, but also at a global level. So I will spend the coming 20 or 25 minutes to try to communicate or to explain what we mean by knowledge and how we do knowledge management and what is it actually for WHO. So the constitution of WHO actually emphasizes the knowledge as being essential for the attainment of health, which means that without access to knowledge for the public and for professionals and for all types of citizens in the society, the health wouldn't be fully achieved. So knowledge is an essential component. And then as far as the professionals' informed opinion and active cooperation on the parts of the public are of utmost importance for the improvement of the health of the people, which means we have to make sure that the right knowledge reaches to the people so that they can be in charge of their own health and have a better informed opinion on what they do and what they want to do. And actually, in the last World Health Report, it was clear that we are targeting what is called people-centered approach in health, which means empowering people to be more in charge of their own health through better information and better access to knowledge and better translation of knowledge into action and into decisions. The WHO has six core functions, as you can see. Most of it actually is related to knowledge and related to information management and its access, whether that through the standard setting, through the ICD and the other terminology that we have, or through the research, or through the dissemination and creation of knowledge that within WHO and its regional offices and member states. So these are the six core functions that WHO is trying actually to achieve through all its programs, whether they are in the technical health areas or in the management and in the research and in the knowledge generation in general. WHO has 13 strategic objectives, which were set actually in 2008, covering until 2013. And three of them actually focus very intensively on the on knowledge. One of them is SO10, which is called to improve health services through better governance, finance, staffing, and management, informed by reliable and accessible evidence and research, which means you cannot do health systems. And this is actually the strategic objective that relates to health systems strengthening. So you cannot strengthen health systems without having reliable and accessible evidence and research. SO12, to provide leadership, strengthen governance, and so on through the advancement of global health agenda. And then the strategic objective number 13 is actually about creating what is called learning organization. And when we talk about learning organizations, it's about actually use of knowledge and experience and making sure that we don't repeat mistakes, we don't reinvent the wheel, we don't actually try to do things in a way that is not evidence-based. So these three objectives are actually leading the organization for being a knowledge-based organization and then working with its member states in these directions. And these objectives actually were agreed by the member states. So member states have to translate these objectives into national programs in their own setting and make sure that ministries of health, medical colleges, and health information centers and all that, they are actually focusing on these to implement their own national programs. Now, in WHO, we have developed our own strategy for knowledge management, and we have four strategic aims. The first one is to improve the quality of WHO work through the improved access to information to facilitate. The first one is about actually generation of information, whether it's in the text format, image format, data, and so on. The other one is to facilitate global collaborations and knowledge networks to make WHO work more efficient, which is bringing professionals and institutions together to work in a more networked environment. Strengthen WHO leadership as a multilingual publisher of high-quality public health knowledge. As I will explain, multilingualism is one of the major components of what we do in WHO in terms of knowledge generation and knowledge dissemination and access to information. And then to promote the use of information and communication technologies to improve health services and systems. And this is the part actually that we focus on, what we call e-health, as being described by the colleague in the European Commission. These are some of the examples that I will share with you in terms of what we do to enhance access to knowledge and to make sure that we reach out to our populations. So we have a network of collaborating centers. We have something like 800 of them covering different areas, including terminology, including research, including the medical technology, and so on. We have a network which is called Knowledge Gateway, which includes something like 17,000 different communities of people working together to share knowledge and to generate and to reach out to even remote areas with health workers and primary healthcare centers. We have the EVIPnet, which is a network for evidence-based policy development. We have in the regions associations like the East Mediterranean Association of Medical Editors in the West Pacific region, in the African region. So all these actually are just examples of the networks and the communities that we have built in collaboration with member states to enhance access to knowledge and to improve knowledge generation in countries. In terms of publishing, WHO publishes about 300 monographs per year in different languages. We have free distribution program in developing countries. We have adopted a free access on the web. We have discounted the prices. We have free distribution of CDRAM and web access to the WHO bulletin that is provided free of charge. Now, in terms of multilingualism, which there was a resolution actually in 2007, which urged WHO and has constituted multilingualism as a core component of what we do. A multilingual WHO is better equipped to communicate health messages, to produce and disseminate health information, and so on. So the idea is, without multilingual access to information, without having information in multiple languages, then that message might be lost, and then there is no way to reach out to the different languages that we have in the world. And when we talk about multilingualism, we are not talking actually only about the six official languages of WHO. We are putting that into a global perspective so that all different languages are covered, and to support member states to develop and to create knowledge in languages that are spoken by these societies and communities. And then from the more developed world, or from where information resources are available, to try to translate and make this information available in local languages so that people can make full use of these information and knowledge resources. We have also developed the plan of action to translate that resolution into specific projects and specific implementation, which includes setting translation priorities for the organization, create a team of multilingual web editors, build institutional repository, and so on. So the idea is actually to follow a specific plan of action which will enhance multilingualism, rather than just leaving it as a concept or as an idea that member states can actually attach themselves to it. During that, as per of that decision, there was this resolution in which it was actually stated that we have to do that, and the member states are being accountable actually for achieving these results. So in terms of the CRISMOI project, I see that there is a link between what we are trying to do and what this project is trying to do in terms of enabling access to multilingual material in different formats and in different locations at different times. One of the things that we have decided to do is to use the XML-based single source publishing, which actually one basic component of it, or one reason for us to use that, is to enhance and to enable two things, multilingualism and multi-format, because we realize that it's not only the text that is actually acceptable for people. There are people with some visually impaired disabilities, or they have certain problems. So using the XML actually has allowed us to provide the same document in different formats and in different languages at the same time. These are some of the advantages, disadvantages of the XML format. I don't want to go into details of that, but I'm sure in your project there will be a consideration of some of these technologies to ensure that whatever we publish, whatever we do once, it is reusable and it's applicable into different situations. One of the projects that we have undertaken to allow access to global knowledge is the Global Health Library. And the main idea is actually to work with institutions like HON to try to map out what are the best available resources in health science and medical libraries, and try to bring them under one umbrella through WHO verification to make sure that all countries are participants and all countries are beneficiaries of this kind of project. So this is ongoing project, and we are actually building the different repositories and different resources in collaboration with countries. This is just the web page of it. The same thing for the Global Index Medicus. It's unfortunate actually that many of the journals published in the third world or in developing countries do not actually get into indexing in Medline or PubMed or these international databases. So WHO has taken a decision a long time ago actually to support its regional offices and member states in developing countries to create what is called the Index Medicus. And we are in the process of creating the Global Index Medicus, which is built on different Index Medicus projects in different regions of the world, including the East Mediterranean, the West Pacific, the Southeast Asian, and the Latin American region. So that can be a great source, actually, of knowledge for the CRISMOI project in terms of streaming up the information from developing world into the Europe or to the developed world in terms of medical information. We have another project that we have just launched, actually. We developed the software, and we are in the process of capturing the data, which is called IRIS, Institutional Repository for Information Sharing. And the idea of this project, actually, is to create a platform, multilingual, six languages at least, which will capture all what WHO has published, whether it's a press release or it's a resolution or a publication or a research or any of that. And it is actually, it is enabling now full text search from one entry point to search. So you can search in Arabic and get your results in English or French or Chinese and vice versa. And we have adopted an open source software. Again, we will be happy to make this as part of or in connection with the CRISMOI to allow for access to WHO resources, especially that some of our resources are not 100% multilingual. Some of them are in Spanish, some of them are in French or Arabic or Chinese or Russian and so on. So it would be great if there is a collaboration to allow for putting this type of information as part of the CRISMOI project or enabled through the project. We have one of the projects that we are very proud of, which is called Hinari, and it's a public-private partnership by which something like 70 publishers have provided access to their medical journals to some 140 countries in the world free of charge. And the idea is actually to create a portal and then through registration to allow countries to get access to the full text of these journals. So the project has been going on for the last 9 years, and it's one of the most successful knowledge-enabling projects in WHO in collaboration with publishers from the US and from Europe and other countries to support the access to knowledge in Africa and many other developing countries. This is where the project is actually being deployed, or the beneficiaries. As you can see, Africa is the biggest beneficiary of that, in addition to some countries in Latin America. We have a project that we are very proud of, which is called the ePortuguese, and the idea is actually to work with Brazil and Portugal to provide health science information and knowledge to the other six Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa and one in Asia, which enables actually access to technology and access to knowledge resources. And the idea is to take actually information and different resources from Brazil and Portugal and pool them to African countries through the use of information technology and use of mobile and use of listservs and so on. This is the how it works actually. Portugal, Brazil is the largest country in terms of population. They have a lot of information resources, taking them to African countries in collaboration with Portugal. And the idea is to use the different technologies available to us, the virtual health library, the blogs, the collaborative space, and so on. So it's actually, it has been very successful in terms of South-South collaboration, Brazil and these developing countries, and enabling access to health knowledge into these countries through simple technologies, through appropriate technologies that is available to us. So as you can see, everything that we do at a large scale, we try to do it at small scale in terms of the access to Portuguese literature. These are some of the examples that we have in the different regions. As you probably know, WHO has six regional offices in Cairo, in Copenhagen, in Brazzaville, in Manila, in Delhi, and in Washington. And each of the regional offices works with its own member states to develop what we call the Index Medicus. So this is the Index Medicus for the East Mediterranean, which is something has been going on for the last 25 years, actually. So it has reached a mature stage of delivering health information based on local literature, based on medical journals that are published within the region. They have started a process of digitizing all their information and making it available in electronic format in a series they called e-publication series. So the idea is actually to deliver digital material through the web or through the CD-ROM to countries of the region and to reach out to the world. These are some statistics and some additional information on the regularity and the system that they follow in terms of their publications. Of course, whatever a regional office is doing, it's always in compliance with the quality control mechanisms, with the multilingualism spirit and rules. It's always within the copyright recognition. It's always within the framework of WHO's rules and regulations. So when they present their information, actually, they have to follow exactly what WHO in general and its World Health Assembly and its executive board are trying to do, using the technology that is appropriate for that region or the language that is appropriate for that particular country or set of countries. This is the West Pacific region where they have their own WIPRIM, they call it. So it's actually indexing of medical journals from China, from Japan, from all these big countries to ensure that we have enough access to this knowledge within the region and to the outside world. So again, the idea is to integrate all these as part of the Global Health Library to make sure that we have a global resource which will bring resources from the south and the north together. These are some details on the content of the WIPREM in terms of countries that have already contributed and how they are doing that. One very interesting thing is the database for that is actually hosted and developed by China through the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences. Again, it's about actually trying to use local resources to develop systems and to collect and to disseminate information and to make more available. This is some training workshops that have taken place in the West Pacific region in terms of how to access knowledge and how to manage. The third region that we have is the Southeast region, which is actually located in New Delhi. Again, they have their own network, they have their own Index Medicus, and the idea is, again, to integrate. What they have developed in the Southeast Asia region is an open access policy by which they have been able to bring resources from the countries of the region, digitize them, and then make them available to the countries of the region. The African region is one of the most active actually right now in terms of putting the framework and developing the technology for enabling access to information. And one of the resolutions that they have taken is the Algiers Declaration, which emphasizes access to information technology and improving access to health knowledge. So it is actually to basically support access to health knowledge in the region. And that declaration actually was shared with donors, with member states, and with everybody. And now we are working with them for the last 2 years to get enough resources to implement the declaration. So the declaration is the principle, and it's the intention, and it's the framework. But the implementation has to come through the different resources that can be made available. Resources within the region include, of course, their African Index Medicus, the Global Health Library, and the HINARI, where they work with us. This is actually a little bit of details on what they are trying to do, and we are very pleased, in fact, with the progress that has been made in Africa in terms of enabling access to knowledge. You probably are fully aware the multilingual nature of the African countries. Some French, some English, some Portuguese, some actually with local languages. And what we are trying to do is to help local communities to translate some of the basic documentation into some of these local languages, whether using machine translation or using resources in the countries to improve that. And out of the 142 medical journals that are indexed in the African Index Medicus, many of them actually are open access, and many of them are in languages that are spoken in Africa, whether it's regardless of being English or French, but some of them are Portuguese and other languages. Again, in the African context, the collection of gray literature has become one of the major components that we are trying to do. Of course, the challenge always the infrastructure, the challenge is always the language, the challenge is the human resources, but we are working with our regional office to try to adopt the simple, the straightforward, open source technologies to allow them to improve access to information. Training on HINARI and access to the GIFT project, they are among the two important aspects that we have. They contribute to the IRIS project. So now we are in the process actually of digitizing all the information materials that have been produced by the regional office, and hopefully we will expand that to reach to member states so that we help African member states in the health area in particular to be part of that project and make sure that we have enough resources to cover all countries, all languages, all infrastructures, and all needs. The last two slides about the American, the region of the Americas, which actually the regional office is in Washington, but the main bulk of the activities is done in Brazil through the BEREMI. which is an information center actually developed by the regional office in Washington to enhance access to health information in, within that region. And of course, their work and their technology have been used as an example for best practices in terms of South-South collaboration. So right now, they have actually developed technology to allow for online publishing, to allow for indexing, to allow for access to information resources, whether in medical journals or in books or in gray literature, in a system based in Brazil. So other regional offices have been using the same technology to expand their access to health information. And more important, in fact, some of the member states have started to use the same technology to develop their access to health information. And from our point of view, we like to encourage this South-South collaboration so that they can learn from the experience and then they can establish their own systems. They have this huge project which is called the Virtual Health Library of Latin America and the Caribbean, and the idea is to bring all these resources together. Of course, the European region in particular, we don't have specific activities, knowing that Europe is self-sufficient in terms of indexing, in terms of information resources and information management. So we don't have a specific project for Europe. But at the same time, we have the European Regional Office, and it has its own information resources, and they contribute to the IRIS, and they contribute to all the other information systems that we have. One thing that I did not have a slide actually on it is the development of terminology, which is part of the work of WHO in terms of standardization. As many of you probably you know, the ICD, and now we are in the process of development of the International Classification for Patient Safety, and of course the 11th edition of the ICD-10, plus the different terminology databases that are used for machine translation or for other purposes, in addition to supporting translation of the medical subject headings to support the IRIS access. IRIS will be accessed, as I mentioned, in 6 languages, plus Portuguese, and the idea is working with national institutions to develop and to translate the MISH original version from English into other languages. So we have it now actually in 9 languages and being processed and being linked to the records within the database. These are the number of people who have contributed by slides or by ideas to this presentation. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope that has been useful. And again, we commit ourselves to work with the project and help as much as possible, share our experience, our concerns, knowing the medical community and knowing the global health as we see it today. Thank you very much.